Help one another, Galatians 5:13. Help one another, 5:13.
Good. Very good.
Whosoever call upon the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13.
Okay, Jamie, we'll give it to you this week. Get to work on that, okay? Okay, that was good. Get to really learn your verses. Okay, make the announcements.
Free from being tied down or subject to another country, to Great Britain, and it received its national independence. It became a free country, and we heard a great deal about that last week, and I thought we might consider a little bit what the Bible has to say about it, for it has quite a bit to say on the subject. Not on that particular subject of national liberty, but has a lot to say about that. We know, for instance, that in the Old Testament, a great deal is said of a whole nation being set at liberty. The nation of Israel, they had gotten into bondage in the land of Egypt. They were tied down and controlled and so forth. And God saw fit to set them free. And they took that tremendously vital 40-year trip from Egypt to Canaan. They were delivered from Egypt's bondage almost immediately, but they traveled through the wilderness and met many enemies there, and finally got to their promised land. And a great many lessons that we learn, a great many sermons that have been preached, are built on that tremendous national incident of a whole nation being set at free, being set at liberty, and becoming independent in the land of Canaan. But of course, that is true enough in one way, and yet they were far from free in that land, because when you read the records, you find that time and again they were brought into bondage to other nations round about. Time and again they got in bondage to each other, the 10 tribes to the 12 tribes, and 2 tribes rather, and so forth. And there was a great land in their history far from liberty, though people like to sing about it a lot and so forth. Well, anyway, in our nation we have our liberty. And I was thinking a little bit about that today, about talking on this subject. It doesn't interest you personally, but it does me very much. And that is that last week another citizen, another person became a citizen of the United States. His name is Jared Timothy. And he is the son of our granddaughter, Debbie. As you all know, no doubt, you probably have heard the news. She really brought a baby into the world weighing 8 pounds and 14½ ounces. Nothing small about it and so forth. And they named him Jared. I was wondering why, but people have their own choices. That word is found in the Bible, in the Old Testament, Jared, J-A-R-E-D. That's the first name of Timothy. And he became a citizen of the United States last Wednesday, when he was born here in Florida. There's another person that really got liberty. He was born in a free country. He's in a free country. He's a country where liberty is a vital element, where we love to think about it and sing about it as well. You and I here, that are born in this country, I wasn't born, but became a citizen by nationalization, but you that are born in this country are born in a free country. And we thank God for that, for the wonderful privilege of being born in a free country. But you know, that word liberty and freedom is quite a word, isn't it? When people say liberty, they think of their national status. They don't think very often of their individual status. But the individual status is often far from being liberty, far from liberty. In fact, as far as the individual status goes, no one is born free. The Bible says we are born in sin and iniquity. I should shame in sin that my mother conceived me. So we are born in a condition of slavery. And born in the condition of sin. And sin is bondage, as the Bible goes on to tell you in ever so many ways. And so our people sometimes are rather proud of the fact that they belong to a country of liberty, a free country like the United States. Millions of people in that country are quite unaware or unconcerned about the fact that they're anything else but in a country of liberty. They're born in slavery. That little baby that was born Wednesday was born with a sinful nature. It sinned that my mother conceived me. And you'll find out when that baby goes off, it has some sinful tendencies and so forth. And the Bible tells you, in no uncertain terms, that sin is bondage. You're tied down, you want to do differently, you can't, and so forth. You can't change your status, and so forth. It's a condition of things that is serious. And, of course, the Word of God shows has to be faced. So then there's another kind of liberty. Yes, there may be national liberty, but individual, every sinner born to the world is in spiritual bondage. He's not in liberty. And of course the Lord Jesus Christ came in marvelous condescending grace in order to set us free from the bondage of sin by his precious death to take upon himself our sin and guilt and set us free. And that's the way you become really free. If Christ shall make you free, as the Bible says, then you are free indeed. If the Son shall make you free, then you are free indeed. But apart from that, there's no such thing as really freedom or liberty in this country or any other country, except when the redemptive grace comes on. In fact, many people are not even free physically. They're bound down. In fact, I think all of us are by nature, we're bound down by the limitations that our body gives us. That is, you want to do great many things and you can't. Sometimes you can't because of physical conditions. You may be lame or deaf or something like that. And you're bound that, but you're not really free then. And then, of course, you're bound often past through crime. When a man commits a crime, he loses his liberty. They lock him up in jail. They limit his movements and his ideas and all the rest of it. And so he has no liberty there. And then we say a free country, that word is sung just as loud by a man who was in jail for 20 years as the man that's walking the street. He too talks about this country, like countries of liberty. But he is not free at all, is it? He's bound. He's tied up. He's limited. He keeps his physical movements are limited. But he has committed a crime. Now that's one kind of a no liberty that men have. And then there's no liberty we all have because we are unable to do anything about our sinful condition. We are bound by the cords of our sins, like the Bible puts it. So when you talk about liberty, what are you talking about? Now there is another liberty, and that is the liberty of soul. As I already said, if Christ shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. He said that in Galatians chapter 5, the passage we were reading, let me see, let me read it again. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And here is a liberty that Christ imparts to the believer. The liberty that Christ has set you free. And we, of course, we know, I don't need to go into details about this, we know that the way he did this is by taking all our sin and guilt upon himself. Taking the remedy that sin and guilt needs to know. Bearing the penalty that belongs to it as the result. You're born into the family of God, and you're born for the first time into a place where there's no bondage. And therefore, there is perfect liberty. That's what he says in our text in Galatians 5. The liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And it's a wonderful thing when you can know and rejoice in the fact that not only do you live in a free country, so-called, but you're free, really free. You're set free from the bondage of sin, set free from the guilt of sin, and all the rest of it. And you have that even while you're walking around in this world, where you are still limited by physical limitations and so forth, where there's still many things that sin brings, which you have to face and so forth, but yet spiritually, as far as your status with God is concerned, you're free. That's what it says, the liberty of Christ has set you free. Now, when you have liberty, it doesn't mean to say you can do as you like. That's what some people very rapidly and very thoughtlessly say. Well, if I'm free, I can do as I like. They say it in this country. I mean, nationally, they often say, I live in a free country and I can do what I like. They mean to say, but that if they want to, I suppose they want to steal or break in somewhere, they mean that too. I don't know what they do, but they do it anyway. They commit a great many crimes because they're free to do what they like. Is that the idea? No. No, there is law in this country. Even if it's a free country, there's laws that operate in the country. And so when you say, by the grace of God, you're set free, but there are laws that operate in that freedom too, in the Christian's freedom. And we were reading that in the first chapter of the book of James, where it uses this remarkable statement. It says in verse 25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth on, he being not forgetfully but the doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Notice that strange expression. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty. Law of liberty seems a contradiction, doesn't it? Law of liberty? I thought when you were under the law, you didn't have any freedom. But here it says there's a law of liberty. You are really free when you're under the law. Only not under the Ten Commandments, which condemned, but under the law of love. And that's what he says here in Galatians chapter 5. Where he says, I should keep these passages, but Galatians 5 and verse 13, it says this. We were reading it just now. Excuse me. Get that in a minute. In 5 and verse 1, it says, stand fast in the liberty. And in verse 13, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now he says, you've been called unto liberty. For liberty, Christ has set you free. But that doesn't mean to say you can do as you like. James calls it the perfect law of liberty. It's liberty, yet it's law. What kind of a law? Well, he tells you that here in the 13th verse. He says, I've given the passage back already. But anyway, he says in the 13th, let me hear, excuse me. I must keep this passage underneath my fingers. It says in Galatians 5 and verse 13, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now he says, you have been called unto liberty. You're free. By the divine grace of God, you've been set free. And yet at the same time, you're under law. Like James says, the law of liberty. What kind of a law? Well, he says in Galatians 5 and verse 13, you've been called unto liberty. Oh, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but, and here you have that tremendous statement, but by love, serve one another. There's a law of liberty. What is the law? It's the law of love. Of love. That is, he tells you here you're set free as a Christian. The grace of God has set you free. And of course we know what? We have the time to look at these passages we don't do it fast enough anyway. But we know a great many scriptures that talk about this fact. that saved by the mighty grace of God, henceforth your life is to be lived not for yourself. By love serve one another. That's the law of liberty. By love serve. It's the law of love. Love. And that's the great New Testament teaching. You're set free and yet you're bound. You're set free and yet under the law. It's not the law that threatens you with punishment if you don't. It's not the law that punishes sin. Just so. No. It's a law of liberty, and by that law of liberty you serve one another. By love, serve one another. It tells you that when you're set free. But freedom is not to be used for self-interest. It's used to serve. You know, you might almost hear an unsaved person say, well, I'm in a free country and I can do what I like. And people do, you talk that language. I don't suppose they mean I can do what I like. I can just murder somebody or steal, go out of the house and steal. But if they don't mean it, that's what they practice. A great many live in the free country. They use their liberty to commit crimes. They're punished for those crimes. While the Christian is to learn that he is free, but that freedom does not give him a title to live as he likes. It binds him, it ties him down to live for others. By love, serve one another. And of course, as the scripture shows, as we all know without having to look at passages, if you're saved by the grace of God, you love God. The love of God is shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Spirit. If the love of God is shed abroad towards Christ, then on that same principle it says you love one another. You're set free, and yet at the same time you're bound. You're free, but not to live for yourself. You're free to live for others. By love to serve one another. And how good it is to remember that the Christian has liberty, but that liberty is not to be used for self-pleasing. It's not to use for the lust of the flesh, like he says. But it's to be used in service, in surrender, in blessing to all those about us. And first of all, and primarily so, to use in surrender and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we owe everything. By love to serve one another. We are not to live as we like because we are Christians. No, we are to live for the praise and glory of God just because we are Christians. And that is really what true liberty is. It's to live for Him who died for us. He mentions this in Romans chapter 8, the passage I think we read. He says, Romans 8 and verse 21, he says, because the creature itself or creation shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the liberty, the glorious liberty, as it reads, of the liberty of the glory of the children of God, of the Son of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of body, for we are saved in hope, and so forth. Hope that is seen is not hope. For if we live in the flesh, live for what we see now, then we with patience wait for it, like with the Spirit also, which helpeth our infirmities, for we know that we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for the groanings which cannot be uttered, and so forth. Anyway, he's speaking in verse 21 of the fact that the whole creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God, and the creation itself shall be delivered from the corruption, the bondage of corruption, into the glorious liberty, as it really should be, into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation goes and faith together until now, and only if we ourselves also, which we have the first ones that are grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. The passage I'm thinking about, I'm trying to put across, is that we Christians are delivered from the bondage of corruption. And that, of course, is what we, two of us, when we are saved, we are delivered from the bondage of corruption. Sin is a bondage that leads to corruption. It leads to physical corruption. For our bodies go fail because sin is in them. Our bodies die because their bodies are tainted by sin. And we can't stop it. But praise God when we're saved by the grace of God, when we get this divine liberty, God has set us free. We are delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the sons of God. He tells us, in other words, that while this body is still suffering the result of sin, the body is still failing, the body is anything but free, we find how it ties us down, how it binds us, how it hinders us, how it shames us, and so forth. But that's not always going to be the way. We have a divine liberty, and that liberty will result in an ultimate eternal blessing. And that is, we shall be changed from this corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. So he talks about the liberty of the glory that is to come. It has been well said by ever so many, we all recognize it, that there's the liberty of grace. And that grace is ours now as Christians. By the mighty grace of God, when we trust Christ as Savior, we've been set free from the bondage of sin. We have a new life. We have a life that should be lived to the praise and glory of God, and God furnishes the ability to do it. He gives us the Holy Spirit so that we might live a life honoring and glorifying to Him. That's true now. By the liberty of grace, we live in a measure above the bondage of sin. But by the liberty of glory, we'll be completely lifted above the bondage of sin. It says we shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. It's the liberty of the glory. That is, there's the liberty of glory ahead. The wonderful glory that lies ahead in heaven is called liberty here. And we realize that. Then we are forever set free from sin. Then we really have liberty. Here it's liberty. We praise God for the measure that there is. We are set free by the grace of God. Yet at the same time, God has seen fit to have us serve and feel all our life long the limits that this body limits us to, the sin that is connected with it. We don't fool ourselves by saying, I never sin anymore. We know we do. We never have sick anymore. Yes, we do get sick. We never are tired and weary. Yeah, we never fail. Oh, yes, all those things. They're all connected with sin. They're all connected with failure. Yet the grace of God enables us to live a life above that. Like he says, instead of living for self, my love to serve one another. And then we look on and wait for that glorious day when all that shall be changed and we shall receive a new body. Now here's the sinner in the world around us. The Bible says he's suffering under the bondage of sin. He's tied down by sin. And the sad thing is that if he stays in that same way, he's going to be tied down forever. Many a sinner now spends many years in jail for crimes. The Bible says that the sinner who's not transgressed is going to spend eternity in jail. Book of Revelation tells you that in chapter 20. He'll be locked up forever. Here a sinner, when he commits sin, is put in jail, locked up for a few years. But a great many sinners that walk around are not locked up. They say, well, that's not true of me. No, but it will be. If you trust Christ and save, you're going to be locked up forever. The Bible speaks of hell as a prison house where the soul is locked up forever. That's the destiny of the sinner. It's a fearful destiny to think about. He's free to walk around here, but he's not free when he leaves this earth. He can do what he likes here, and he does offer that, but he can't do what he likes when he gets there. He's got completely limited as to his movements, as to his actions and all the rest of it, as to enjoyments and all the rest of it. It's going to be limited. But with the Christian, it's going to be the exact opposite. He's going to be set free from corruption to enjoy forever the liberty of the glory of the children of God. And so the Bible goes on to tell you that in a number of places that when the Christian leaves this earth, he says goodbye to sin. He says goodbye to freedom and to bondage in any way whatever. And he's free eternally. He's set free to enjoy the liberty to hear the liberty of grace he enjoys, when he rejoices in God's manifestless love and the gift of the Lord Jesus. But there will be the liberty of the glory. And you can dream about that passage as much as you like. It's a wonderful thought scripture brings to us, the liberty of the glory of the children of God. You see, it says that now we are not to serve sin and so forth, but by love to serve one another. And the motive force is love. And when you walk in love, you really know what freedom is. When you walk in love, you are not thinking of your own interest. You're not thinking of your own advantages. You're not thinking of your own accomplishments. You're not thinking of yourself. It's been well said. Faith comes in and faith works love. And then faith works by love. For love is the motor force that moves you. And not only so, but faith works love and faith works by love. But also faith loves to work. Finds its joy in living for Christ and living for others and not knowing what true liberty is. And so the Bible speaks of that so much, so many other ways of the liberty that is the Christian. Look at this last verse of Romans, the last part of Romans. It speaks of this again. Well, it says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That glorious destiny that lies ahead that belongs to the Christian, because he's been set free from the bondage of sin. And that freedom is easy to obtain. It is simply accepting Christ as Savior, trusting Him. And that sin that ties you down is broken, is removed, set away, and you're set free. To live a life of freedom. Not a freedom to sin. Not freedom to do evil. But a life of liberty. And he says that liberty is not to seek self, to serve self, but to love one another. First of all, I've said already, to love God and then to love another. If you want to be a really free Christian, spend your life in ministering to others. That's the way the love that comes to you becomes a reality in your experience. And you find out that where you live a life seeking to be a blessing to others, you're living a life of freedom. You're set free from the passions of sin and self, which still are with the Christian. But he's set free from their domination by turning the back on self and ever afterwards seeking to glorify Him who has set us free. And someday we'll be set free. For the sinner, there's an eternal jail ahead. For the believer, there's an eternal liberty and glory and blessing ahead. And he can have a taste of it here and now by realizing he's free. Not to please himself, but free to love, live and love for him who died for us. May God bless these rambling thoughts for his praise and glory, for your comfort and mine. Be a free Christian, a free person. You're not yet free from the habitations, from the habits and limits that life brings, but you're free in the midst of human failure and frailty. Free to live your life in, to have to know the law of liberty, a liberty that yet is a law to you and binds you to a certain course. That course is to honor and glorify God in every way, and to manifest that it is a reality to be a Christian, that you live and find your joy in living for Christ, your Savior. Our God and our Father, we praise thy gracious mercy to bless these thoughts of thy precious word. We thank thee for the liberty that Christ has set us free. We thank thee that in the midst, while in the midst of liberty, we still feel and know the limitations that sin brings and would put upon us, our God. We thank thee. It's our blessing, our joy, thy divine grace to live above this. To use our liberty not as an occasion for the flesh, as thy word says, not to please ourselves, but to love thee and to love others. We seek thy blessing upon thy precious word as we thank thee for it in our Savior's precious and holy name. Amen. Our God and Father, we thank thee for the divine liberty that thy grace has brought. We thank thee we not only live in a free country. Yes, it is free in some ways. Yet the people in it are oftentimes bound, so much bound by sin and self. May we as Christians know the freedom that grace has set us free to live a life to honor and glorify thee and to prove the sustaining strength that thy grace brings so we can live in the midst of sin, sin all around, and live above it and live in touch with thyself. We seek thy blessing now, command thy word to thee in our Savior's precious name. Amen.